Blog Talk Radio.
What's up, world, and welcome to Realty Universal Radio, the fastest hour in radio, no doubt about it. I'm Randy Zachary, and this is a show about real estate, about God, about life, about giving back, about being the change in the world that you'd like to see. I'm privileged to bring to you Natalie Mullinex and Realty Universal, a company dedicated to excellence. Realty Universal is a revolution founded on a very simple principle. We believe sellers and buyers should have choices. We have been a pioneer in the menu program system. More on that, of course, a little later. Natalie Mullinex, president and founder of Realty Universal, averaged over $80 million a year in sales prior to stepping back to focus more on building Realty Universal membership network. More than once, she has been the number one realtor in the entire state of Hawaii. She's an accomplished speaker, writer, consultant, trainer, and, oh, by the way, mother. She travels worldwide, literally, spreading the gospel, if you will, of Realty Universal. And she joins us now. Hey, Natalie.
Hey, Randy. How are you?
Doing well. And how are you?
Good. Yeah, I can't believe it's already the end of summer here almost. But, yeah, doing well.
Labor Day weekend coming up. Any plans for the weekend?
I haven't gotten into doing my planning yet. I haven't done that. I've been keeping low profiles for a while. How about you guys over on Maui?
We're actually coming back to California for that weekend.
Oh, good.
Speaking at a family camp for a church back in Central California. Going to see some folks. And I've got to kind of come right back because I'm in the middle of this project here. But Monica's going to spend another week and hang out with her folks and the kids and, you know, kind of see some people. So
that'll be fun.
Isn't it weird? Because you've lived here and back there. And it's one of those kind of things that, you know, when you're not in Hawaii, you're like, man, I miss Hawaii. And then you get over here and it's just like any other place. You're working and doing stuff and you're like, hey, I kind of miss California. And I kind of go back.
Home is really where the heart is. It really, really is. And that's something that you realize after you've been around a lot of places for a while, you know. And it also depends on the time of year. You know, if you're in the middle of the snow, you kind of miss Hawaii a little bit more. But you're right. It's true, isn't it? It's home is where the heart is. It's funny. It's funny how that is. But the beautiful thing is to be able to do it, Randy. That's the nice thing, huh? Look at all the people that can't do it. They're just kind of stuck in one place. I think it's awesome to be able to come back and forth and do it. But it's true. We always kind of get used to it and kind of go, okay, now I'm ready to go to the next plan.
Well, yeah, I think I mentioned that to you yesterday. I think that's part of just me for whatever reason in general. And we're probably getting more into the second half of the show already, which we typically do, but we can kind of drill down on our stuff.
I think it's our personalities, huh? We kind of just put the real life, real world, and us entrepreneurs that are allowed to do the real life, real world, and we're not going to get fired, right? We don't have to worry about what stockholders say. We don't have to worry about. So we kind of like enter. You know, it's the real. You know, it's the way we are, which is pretty cool.
Yeah.
But I think you know, to me, it's all important mindsets. You know, I'm still going through. With my brother, oh my gosh, I'm still terrible compared to where some people might be after so many months, you know. And it's really mindsets. It's interesting how everything still goes on and how it's so important to learn how to live in that one day at a time, you know, kind of place to get through all that, right? So I think that's the real world when we can sit there and say, how do you feel while you're doing your job? You know, how do you feel while you're doing these other things? And I think that's pretty cool.
Absolutely.
Today, even what we're talking about today is why this is still a good time to buy a home is a mindset as well, you know? And it really is. So we're going to be going over that today. And so you and I always get into these topics and we kind of spritz in the real world, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
But like I was saying yesterday, you're so much better at the comedy and I have been so serious for a while with my brother going and, you know, I've got to get back into laughing again and those things, you know, that we need to do. So I was like talking to you about that yesterday about how do we intersperse that into, you know, the fun into this too. So we don't make everything seem so serious all the time.
Yeah, and to that point, again, you and I were talking about that yesterday, and last night we watched on Netflix a comedian named Steve Harvey, African-American comedian who, you know, has got a new talk show coming out, and he's hilarious. But
Steve Harvey, okay.
Yeah, but what we were talking about yesterday about blending comedy, you know, into kind of real life exhortation, if you will, where sometimes that's not so funny. How do you blend comedy with topics that aren't so funny sometimes?
Yeah.
And I was watching him. He's talking as a guest speaker. He's at this T.D. Jakes church thing, and he pretty much talked about how, you know, he's coming back to the Lord, if you will. He's been away, and people, you know, have kind of judged him in the church world because, you know, in his comedy act over the years, he's cursed words and, you know, been kind of foul here and there. But he's been on this journey coming back. And anyway, my point is, he goes, and he said this to the crowd. He goes, "I ain't the only borderline person here. I'm thinking all of y'all are struggling with stuff. You just don't admit it." he goes, "I got some things, you know, that I want to say about church and what's wrong with church. And I may hurt some feelings, but here goes." And he went down a list of about 6 or 8 things that are hilarious things that happen at church, but that are hypocritical.
And oh, so funny.
Yeah, he did what we were talking about.
He was able to do it. That's so cool. That's why I love that. I'd love to be able to incorporate more of that, you know, because it's the real world. It's real stuff, but then it can lighten it up a little bit, and people go, "Oh, yeah, that's me. I do that. Oh, yeah, you're right." You know.
So here he is making he's basically just hammering these people, and they're all laughing because of the way he delivered it. You know, and I thought about our conversation yesterday. I thought, you know,
that's perfect.
That's very true. He's doing exactly what we had talked about doing, which is, you know, talking about life and difficult things and things that might not be necessarily funny, but bringing humor to them so that they're more easily received. And I thought
exactly. And then learning. I mean, we all need to learn how to still have, like I was mentioned to you yesterday, sometimes you see, you know, you've seen people that maybe are on their deathbeds, right, but that they were hysterically funny in life. And they're still cutting up and telling jokes on their deathbed, and you're like, "Oh my God, how do they do this?" But they do it, and it makes sense, right? And you know, I was saying I need to get lighten up and get more of that into me, you know, because it's really easy to feel that way when everything's great. But so that's pretty cool. So, but mindset, everything we do goes back into mindset, and that's so funny about. I'd love to work on that, being able to deliver that way and tie it in and. Today, talking about our first half, because of course we'll go through it, and then we have our second half to go again. Why real estate is still a safe investment. And I say the word safe because think about right now, okay, we've got people that are very, very deep pockets, that have very, very deep pockets, that are not, that are maybe pulling out of stock markets and putting their monies into real estate because they can get better deals, and maybe their lives are, you know, they're not as worried about monies as some people, but they're just worried about holding on to some of their monies, right, and switching things around. Then you have people that are literally losing jobs, you know, figuring how are they going to feed their family that week. And you have, you know, right now we have things going on all over the place, right, that are just really instilling fear everywhere. The reason I'm saying why real estate is still a good investment is here we have 3% interest rates. Some people are refinancing in the twos. I mean, it's unheard of. It's almost like free money. And then you have people saying, I'm still not going to buy yet. I don't want to buy. I don't know if my job's steady. I don't know if how the economy's going to go. Maybe the prices are still going to go down more. You know, you hear these things and you hear fear coming out. And it's becoming so contagious, and of course we're in election year, and all these things are going on every which way, you know, and you're hearing because of the internet, we get information so quickly. I mean, we've had 41 cases, they said today, of the Nile virus in the United States. Now, that's a little, 41 cases may not be that many, but we weren't having that kind of stuff in the U.S. before, right? So we're having all this stuff that, and we get the news so quickly that it is instilling fear. So for me, when I say why it's still a good investment, oh my gosh, by the time you figure out buying a house and the interest rate, in many, many, many situations, your payment's going to be cheaper than your rent. So
Just say
your job might not be really secure, okay? Just say you might lose your job. You're worried about it. You're sitting on the fence. Just say all these other things are happening. How is that going to change why it's still a good investment to buy a house if you can get in at 3% interest rate? Now I'm talking about, you know, okay, you can qualify for the loan, you can get in. Doesn't it make sense to go do it now? And then if you lose your job, you have to either become entrepreneurial in certain ways. You've got to find other skills. You've got to go do other work. It may not be work that you're that feels great for you to do, but there's work to do. Or even if there's not work to do, and say you ended up going on welfare, I'm taking this to extremes. I'm not, you know what I mean? We don't have much time to always talk about things. But say you ended up, what's the difference whether you own that or you're renting it? If it's the same amount of money you got to come out with every month, do you see the difference? What I mean?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And we get mindsets, and I don't mean to be, I mean, plenty of people are fine. I'm just taking it to different levels because I want people to think about where are our mindsets. Now, someone might, well, if I own the house, I've got to fix it up, and I've got to have money for reserves, and I've got to have money for this, and what if this breaks, and what if that breaks, and I can just call my landlord and I don't have to worry about it. Okay, if you really pencil it out, and this all seems so wonderful, fine, but I can guarantee you 9 times out of 10, you're going to be better off owning than renting. Unless it's a $5 million house that you can rent for, you know, $2,500 a month. I mean, you know, so there's exceptions to this rule. But it's the mindset, because everyone else is having fear. Oh, I'm not doing anything. There's owner financing out there. There's rent with sale. There's so many different ways to do it, even if you don't have the credit. But I'm just putting that out there, why it's such a safer investment. That is something you can touch. This real estate that you can touch. The prices are not inflated right now. And you can hold on to it, and it's yours. When the economy changes, you can borrow against it. You can fix it up. You can add on. You might be able to – maybe you have to rent it out. Maybe you can – you know, so many things you can do, and you know, the rates are so low. So that's – I'm just putting that out there because I just hear too many people. I actually have a friend of mine who's been a broker for 30-some years. The other day even mentioned that too. I said, you know, it's really kind of weird, but she did it on the flip side, which is kind of what prompted me to want to talk about this today. I said, you know, it's really weird. And, of course, we're in different, you know, between Hawaii and Maryland, and then I work on the with the affiliates in different states. I have my pulse on many different states and many different economies, right? I was saying, you know, what's really weird is you would think with the rates being so low that people would be banging the doors down to buy. Now, of course, we have many short sales, people that have gone through short sales and foreclosures who might not qualify. You've got many self-employed people who can't qualify because of the way the numbers are working out now. But there's also other ways to try to do it. But even with that, I said to her the other day, it's just surprising that people aren't just, it's not a frenzy. Now, you know, there may be some small pockets where it is, but overall, it's not. And she said, after being in the business 30 to 40 years, I don't know. I don't think I'd want to do it. I'd be afraid of my job. I'd be afraid of this. I'd be afraid of that. So It prompted me to talk about this because here's somebody that knows the industry that's saying it. So I'm thinking, oh, my gosh, I can really imagine. I hear it constantly from people that aren't in the business having a fear from it, you know. So it's – but where does that come back to, Randy? What you and I always talk about, our mindsets, our, you know, where we are, where we are in our space – to, you know, that takes us where it takes us. And so that's why I just wanted to talk about it, because there's so many more options right now to be able to get in, believe it or not. And even if you do a rent with sale or rent with an option, you may be better off than just totally renting and throwing your money away, unless that's, you know, you may have a business and write it off. I'm not talking about the people that have already figured out the better way to structure for themselves tax-wise and business-wise and corporately and all these other things. I'm just talking about the people that are saying, you know, I really would love to do it, but I'm afraid.
Wow. That's, you know, and again, I have a question. I want to take a break, and then if we can come back, I want to ask you, you mentioned something there just in that last sentence or two about people, you know, using their business. And I think you've talked about this before. Using their business to pay their bills, to, you know, put the house in the business name. I wanted to just, if we could,
Not put the house in it, but yeah, bring it. We'll bring that back after the break. That'll be good.
Okay, we'll be right back. Again, Realty Universal Radio, the name of the show, Natalie Mullinex with us. My name is Randy, and the number to call in, if you like, 347-945-5428. That's 347-945-5428. And the second half of the show is always going to be literally life-changing, as we talk about some pretty cool stuff. And it's interesting how Natalie and I haven't even had a chance to talk about what we're going to talk about, and we're already flowing in it. So it's exciting. We'll be back right after this.
Real estate is still a solid investment to invest in if you are in for the long haul. It can also be one of the best investments of your capital if handled correctly. In the United States, we are fortunate to have the tax write-offs that we take for granted while owning property. To obtain the best value for your real estate, there needs to be a market of both buyers and sellers, as well as a means of bringing the two together. Now more than ever, due to the recent loan crisis, even with bringing buyers and sellers together, there needs to be a way to make the financing work if a loan is needed. There are still many options available, and we can help. Whether you're a buyer, seller, going through a short sale, investing at the top or bottom, we have trained Realty Universal members in each state and affiliates who can customize your process the way it will work best for you. We do advise that you coordinate with your accountant and real estate attorney so your plan is intact. We have all learned through this economy that planning and averting pitfalls can make a world of difference in our futures. Ultimately, you have to rely on you. After consulting with the experts, we set you up to win.
When Marlon Shirley was 5 years old, he was in an accident and lost his foot, but he didn't lose his heart.
When you tackle a challenge that you just cannot even fathom tackling, when you accomplish that, the amount of integrity and the will and the heart that you'll get from that experience is what will set you up for your life.
In less time than it took Marlon Shirley to say that, he can now run 100 meters because today he's the world's fastest amputee. Overcoming. Pass it on. From the Foundation for a Better Life at Values.com.
And welcome back. It's Realty Universal Radio on Blog Talk Radio. And Randy Zachary, my name, Natalie Mullinex, with me as we continue talking about real estate, about being the change. You know, we talk about real estate agents, talking about being change agents as well. And that comes up in the second half of our show. We're going to be talking about some life stuff that Natalie and I kind of broke down yesterday a little bit and talked about. And,
Randy, what book are you talking about the second half? Because I hadn't gotten a chance to talk to you about it. What's the book?
Yeah, John Maxwell's book called Today Matters, which is all about mindset. It's all about what you've been talking about.
Okay, you know? Today Matters. Got it.
It's a great book. It's 12 Practices to Guarantee Tomorrow's Success. And he basically boils it down, again, to mindset. And and so that's, you know, you've been talking about that, and it's just a perfect tie-in. Now, back to real estate, the question came up, and you're talking about all these different ways in the first segment and reasons that, you know, buying is still a good investment, and in many cases, literally a house payment could be cheaper than paying rent, and there's lots of creative ways to do it. And by the way, if you've got a question, 347-945-5428 is the number again, 347-945-5428. And I had a question. You mentioned about structuring, and you mentioned businesses. And I ran into somebody the other day who pretty much was telling me that they pretty much everything they buy, they put in, you know, in under the business, under their business, so that the business pays everything. The business pays car payments. The business pays mortgages. How does that work?
Well, you know, when I made the suggestion, when I was talking about it today briefly, and then I said, because I was saying, like, you know, somebody might say, well, I don't want to do that because I do it with my business. You know, there's exceptions to the rule. And I had brought up in the past, what I was just talking about is, like, for example, if the business, say you're a corporation and you've got to be in several places and you need a property that you're not going to buy, you're just going to rent, and the business rents it so that you have it when you're there, right? And it would be a legal write-off. So I was talking more again on rentals. Now, somebody needs to really talk to their accountant to see if it makes sense for the business to buy these properties for how they should be structuring it. So, for example, I know with cars and vehicles, if you have a small business and you only have one car and you put the car in the company name and you get the write-off because it's a business write-off, you know, especially, like, say you're in real estate and you're using the car, you know, mm-hmm. I'm in real estate and I'm not out showing properties at this point because of different reasons, but it was years ago, you know. Say, for example, it's your business vehicle and you have one vehicle, you can't write that off 100% because you've got to be going to the store or doing some personal errands. You may only be able to write off 90%. Business and 10% personal, right? So your accountant would know. So yeah, there's a lot of different things. But for example, if it's there may be a situation where it makes sense for you to lease a property. You know, you guys have to go back and forth between California and Hawaii, just like I go back and forth between Hawaii and Maryland and then the mainland. So you guys have to go back and forth. It may make sense if you had a corporation to have the corporation rent the property, and then you can write it off. So there's times where you could write it off that you may not be able to write it off personally. That's why somebody would want to do it. But you have to have a good accountant. You can't fully 100% say that you're not doing anything personal there, right? So,
okay.
Does that make sense?
Okay.
So, yeah. But yeah. No, businesses may, it depends on the business and what kind of business it is. If the business is a cash cow and there's lots of money in the business and they're not pulling it out personally, they may want their assets to come under the umbrella of the business and they're buying everything through the business for structuring purposes, right? So it's just a lot of different reasons somebody could do that. But there are strict regulations when it comes to personal. So that's why, like, for example, sometimes people own a house and then they want to put an office in their house, and they go and they want to write off the piece of the office that's their house that they own, and many accountants say don't do that, because if you write that off, you made part of that one room a rental, then we have to depreciate it, then when you sell it, you got to add it back in and pay more taxes. So in that situation, it may be better to have your house really be your house and take the mortgage interest deduction. See how that...
So that's why
everything is really... That's where we give food for thought. And then you have to get in and dig in and get the detailed questions. And don't ever trust us. Don't ever just listen. I just recommend on anything you do, don't take no for an answer, and don't just take the first answer as the answer. I don't care if you're calling an attorney, an accountant, or you know, any expert in the field, including me. I mean, whoever it is, right? Don't just say, okay, that's the answer, boom. You know, check it out, investigate it, okay, because things change. And there's a lot of things. So but you can do so much more than what people are doing because of this thing called fear, false evidence appearing real, right?
Mm.
And very much so. And I'm not believing it. Nobody, if anybody tells you, my life is perfect all the time, every time it's my entire life, you know, and nothing ever bothers me, and I'm going to teach you how to always be perfect, you know what? I would run from that person. You know why? Because it's impossible if you're living in the real-life world that we're living in, right? You know, so it's just a matter of checking everything out. But I just want to say so much. I mean, people that right now are struggling, you know, you're struggling, but you may still be able to buy something. And I'm not saying it just because we're in real estate. We don't need the commission that way. We don't work that way. Okay. But you may be able to get on the computer, or go, you know, or look in the papers and look for owner financing or look for other ways. But right now, I've been in the industry since '85. I've never seen rates this low. Rates haven't been this low. You can go back to the '60s. I mean, rates are just like, this is like, I mean, unbelievably low, you know? It's like free money almost. So you want to take advantage of it if you can. And the cool thing is you're seeing owners that are having a hard time selling, doing owner financing, and they're doing owner financing at 4 and 5%, where before they would have wanted 10 or 12. So there's a heck of a lot of deals out there. Because I know we're almost finished the first half, and I can't wait to dig in and see what you're doing on the second half, the CNN Money today is August 22nd, 2012, lists 25 of the best places that are affordable to live in the United States. We always, on our shows, we're going from where the heart is. So when we're talking about issues spiritually, life, all that other stuff that happens, you know, it doesn't matter if you're filthy rich or you don't have two pennies to rub together. God put us in here. You know, the same going in and going out, and we all have those different issues to deal with in life, right, in our spirit and our soul and everything. So that's what we get into spiritually. When we're on the real estate side and we're talking business, we, our heart goes out to help people that really need help that aren't going to know how to do it. So we never want to offend anybody on the show. We don't want somebody listening to it going, well, I've got $10 million to invest. I don't need to listen to these people. They don't even know what they're talking about, you know, or whatever. But that's not true. We do know what we're talking about. And but we don't want to offend that person. We don't want to offend somebody that says, I've never bought a house and I want to buy it. We want to help that person. So we want to help everybody. And I'm just making that point because, like, right now I'm mentioning 25 places of the most affordable places that are actually on CNN Money today. And I think it's worth looking at because they give you, I love the internet, they give you the breakdown. And what I thought was interesting is the median income on in a lot of these towns was pretty high. I mean, like 70, 80, 90,000, you know. But the places were so inexpensive, and it talks about schools and city and things and arts and communities. And so I just think it was just it's really worth looking at. It would be on CNN Money, and if you're listening to our archive in the future, it would be on August 22nd, 2012, and that's how you can Google and go to the link. But Spring, Texas, for one, you can buy a five-bedroom house with a pool for $300,000. You can buy places for $125,000. In Northport, Florida, the average price is only $86,000. Missouri City, Texas is $145,000. Their income average level is $89,000. So if you've making if they're making $89,000 a year and they only have to pay $145,000 for the house and the groceries and everything else are cheaper, they can really have a nice lifestyle. And what I love about this when you get into digging in and looking at these links and informational sites like CNN Money that have done their homework and they're pulling the information, the statistics for you so that you can see quite a lot. I'm just going to run through a couple. There's 25. I'm only going to run through 10 real fast. Cedar Rapids price is around $113,000 to Iowa. Bellevue, Nebraska, $124,000. Rochester, Minnesota, $136,000. Warner Robins, Georgia, $115,000. This is the median price range for a house. Enid,
wow.
Oklahoma, $92,000. Casas, Arizona, I hope I said that right, $115,000. Sioux Falls, South Dakota, $129,000. Tallahassee, Florida. Of course, I was thinking, well, those other places might be a little cold, right? But no, in the winter. Tallahassee, Florida, $122,400. This one piqued my interest because of me with Hawaii, Maryland, and Europe and things like that, and also liking to be near D.C. Dale City, Virginia is only 40 minutes from Washington, D.C., and the average price of a house is like $200,000.
Really?
And, I mean, we're talking where, you know, in D.C. it may be. So it's just kind of neat because you can get out there and find deals, and it doesn't mean, you know, and it's just interesting. So you got to do your homework, but don't be afraid. Get on there and play with it. Make it your hobby. Maybe start, if you really don't think you can do it, just start checking it out till, you know, and start getting in there and looking and figuring it out and take advantage of it. I'm telling you, it's definitely, I feel safer with real estate right now than I do with the stock market. Of course, I'm not a broker, so with that caveat, but hey, I invested some stock in Facebook, so that makes me pretty not smart, huh? No, I mean, I know the rate. The earnings were like the PE ratios were way off. Like, who would think? But I just figured on the long haul, it's worth it, right? But
yeah,
I still think it was worth it, but I think they got a bum deal. In my opinion, it was not fair what happened to them that day. I'm definitely think that was wrong what happened to them with all the glitches in the systems that shouldn't have happened and also people that knew what they were talking about giving them a bum rap beforehand. So, but I won't go there. So anyhow, we are already at that time of the second half of the show.
It's we'll take a break and be back on the other side and talk about again mindset, which really ties into all that you've been hearing this first half hour. It's all about mindset, whether you're talking about thinking about buying a house or things, starting a business, or whatever you think you can do, you can. Whatever you don't think you can do, you can't. It's that whole, it's very simple, and yet it is very complex. We don't mean to simplify it. We're gonna dig in the second half. The number, if you'd like to write it down and be involved in the next half hour, 347-945-5428. It's 347-945-5428. Now, if you're listening to an archive, you know, later edition, you can, and you have a question or a comment, always radio@realtyuniversal.com. We will be back right after this.
We're excited to be able to continue to bring to the world stage a company as dedicated to universal excellence as Realty Universal, Inc. On the surface, our company has been initiating a revolution in the real estate world since 1996. We started offering our menu programs when it was not the standard way of doing business. Now it is so much more understood and commonplace, although we are still ahead of the rest due to experience within the systems. In today's economy, our menu programs make it possible for buyers and sellers to still have a win-win situation. The best situation in life is when everyone wins. Everyone must give in to assist in the outcome, and what happens is very positive experience. Realty Universal is a revolution founded on a very simple principle. We believe that sellers and buyers should have choices. As obvious as this seems, traditional real estate has never been structured in such a way as to allow the multitude of choices sellers and buyers truly deserve. After years of perfecting and receiving feedback on our programs, we have developed real estate menu systems that are used by buyers, sellers, and agents and brokers who are part of our Realty Universal network, which is growing by leaps and bounds.
Shoestring Ministries committed to mindset, attitude, and behavior change by taking the focus off of me and putting it on Christ. All right, Dr. V, this week we're talking about fresh starts.
How many of you just need a do-over sometimes? You know, to take back a negative word, a failed relationship, or a life regret.
All of those.
The God we serve is about fresh starts, Randy.
Mm-hmm.
Lamentations chapter 3, verse 22 reads, "The faithful love of the Lord never ends. Mm. His mercies never cease. Great is his faithfulness. His mercies begin afresh each morning."
Whoa!
Man, oh, man. Just like the newness of dawn, God's daily mercies give us a chance for a do-over.
You know, Brennan Manning talked about he loves us just as we are and not as we should be, because we'll never be as we should be.
That's right.
Woo-hoo! What a great, great way to begin our second half of the show. Realty Universal, the name of the show again, 347-945-5428. One more time, that number if you need to write it down, 347-945-5428. Realty Universal Radio, a show about real estate, about giving back, about being the change. So it's about a whole lot more. And we're going to get into in just a moment the second half of the show here, where we kind of talk about, again, motivational things, inspirational things, how we really can go beyond just talking about changing and actually doing it. And there's a great book by John Maxwell called Today Matters. And it's going to give you some practical steps. But before we get to the practical steps, here's our problem, Natalie, as human beings, and just one of them. But you and I were talking, and of course, today about mindset and how and the reason I'm going to camp on allowing our hearts to be changed before we go to mindset. Is I think I'm an example to some degree. You may be an example, and people who are listening might be an example. You can read all the motivational stuff in the world. You can go to all the seminars. You can subscribe to all the podcasts. You can follow everybody on Twitter, and you know, you can inundate yourself with positivity. But I've come to realize, and this is just my opinion, so that unless and until the heart is healed, really, it's difficult for the mind to absorb and to change, and so it's just my feeling, my experience, our journey. You know, Monica and I do marriage ministry, and we counsel couples, and in our personal healing journey. And you and I were talking about it yesterday. You know, I am 55, and up to this very minute, I still allow things, broken places, if you will, in my heart to impact my mindset, and sometimes to override what I know should be the proper mindset.
Absolutely. So, you know, 100%. Yep.
Yeah. And you and I were talking yesterday, about, you know, our personal journeys and how we still struggle with the things.
No, but I don't mean to interrupt, but I, you know, with me, I've been going through ministry counseling with my brother dying, and I started it prior to him dying to work out some of my own personal issues, and they kept saying, you don't feel, and I'm like, what do you mean I don't feel? I have lots of empathy, I love people, I whatever. Yeah, you feel and care about everybody else, but you're not feeling for yourself, right?
Yeah.
And then they brought to my attention, even now more so with my brother dying, okay, I'm so analytical, you know, I think up in my mind. And they're like, okay, we're getting you to feel, and you start talking about it, and then you go over to this thing, and it's all in your mind again. No, I'm not doing that. That's not true. No, you're not. And exactly what you just said is so true. Until we're listening to our heart, which is where our spirit and soul and God and, you know, everything's, we're not totally dealing with it, right? It's easy to push our heart out of the way and go, okay, you know, and then exactly what you just said, sometimes we can mix it up and kind of get everything in the way, right? Because we're just chunking it. But none of us are ever going to get, I hate to say this, but we're never going to get holy, 100% perfectly healed, I think, until it's time to get out of here, probably. But
yeah, that's a very important thing to say, because I think a lot of people, and I know people in quote-unquote church world, kind of get told this, that, you know, wow, just with God, everything is going to be just great. Well, going to be way better, but life is still going to be a struggle. Ask the Apostle Paul, who got thrown in prison for 4 years. You know, that wasn't on his 5-year plan. You know,
that's a good point. No,
and he spent 4 years in prison. He could have sat there and went, "Whoa, God, this wasn't what I signed up for." But he decided
he didn't get out of there either. Though, I mean, later, you know, he died. I mean, it was not a good thing. But yeah, exactly.
Yeah, so. To your point, you're right. I don't think we're ever going to be totally healed. I do believe we can walk in a joy and a peace and a purpose that more often than not, and so that the times. And let me give you a personal example, if I can. It happened today after you and I were talking about, you know, the book that you're hoping to write and the time to heal and that whole thing. I realized this morning, and it's been this way for a couple of days, I get in these cycles of what I call sadness, where everything that I think about in the past and everything I think about in the future is almost viewed through this lens of sadness. And so when I think of, wow, man, I miss being, you know, at the radio station that I just worked at, and this lens of sadness
kind of
amplifies that, and I'm like, oh man, I made a mistake, I need to be back there, all these things that start going around in my brain. And then when I think about the future, there's this kind of cloud, and it really is because of my
mindset,
my childhood. I'm always waiting for the other shoe to drop, something bad to happen, because my dad was very critical, very, you know, he was an alcoholic, so you didn't know whether you're going to be hugged or hit each day.
Right.
So life was chaotic. And so you're always, you know, and you got used to things being sad and bad. Ooh, that's a book title right there.
New sad and bad. I totally get it. Exactly.
You know? And so even here I sit at 55 with some really cool things going on and some partnerships and alliances, including the one with you and, you know, the investors.
Oh, yeah, radio. Oh, amazing.
That have come back to Maui to do this other thing, and some folks who have partnered with us on the marriage ministry. There's a lot of cool stuff happening in my life, but there are these cycles of sadness that kind of grip me.
And what I would recommend for that, I totally get, is every day start doing a gratitude journal. Start saying – write 10 things every day that you're grateful for.
Yeah.
To start switching it, because I get it. It's totally true. It's our lenses. It's how we're seeing it, how we're viewing it. But we start doing the gratitude journal. I was on a call with somebody earlier today that said to me, Natalie, your brother would not want you to do this. What are you doing? And I'm like, I know he wouldn't want me to do it, but I had to grieve my way, but I've been beating myself up. And they said, you've got to start your gratitude journal, because if you don't start your gratitude journal, God's going to start taking away what you do have good in your life right now. And I'm like, you know, that's a really good point, because I've been not messing up, but I stopped projects. I was just crying. I was just upset. I said, I've not done anything to my capacity that I could have done, you know, in this past 6-7 months. And so, yeah, that lens is so important, right? But we're such creatures of habit that we almost have to start at least telling ourselves what we're grateful for every day, right, at the same time.
Yeah.
And, like, go ahead. I didn't mean to interrupt you, but that's a –
No,
and
I know.
The other thing too, a lot of times when we've had a lot of stuff that we had to abuse and things when you're young and everything, and you've had a lot of things going on that you couldn't control, you want to control everything else. So then you become adults and you're like, I can control this, I can fix this, I can do that, as long as, and the thing is what we don't realize, that I'm starting to realize, guess what? We can do more than one thing at the same time. We can still not burn our bridges. We can still do business in different places. We can get involved in things that we're passionate about. You know, just like you and I talked about with the spiritual and the real estate, I'm doing both, and now I know there's nothing that's going to stop me from doing both. But I realize people constantly maybe will have hobbies or do missionary work, or they're doing philanthropy, right? But they're still doing their main core business. And so we can do all of this, you know? But go ahead. I didn't mean to interrupt you, Randy. I was just bringing up a point about understanding that lens where we start going, wow, it's feeling so good. I was feeling so good in November, December. I actually told people at the ministry thing, I'm afraid the other shoe's going to fall off. And then in January, my brother died. And you talk about the other shoe fall off. That was the worst thing that's ever happened to me in my life, the way it happened, you know? So
yeah, you,
I totally get it. I totally. And now I've still been going, why, dear God, why? What did I do wrong? What happened? What should have, could have, would have, whatever. It's my fault. Oh, my God, I could have saved
him.
Why didn't I save him? I mean, seriously. And it's a real thing. So go ahead. It's your turn.
I know we could tag team this for a couple hours.
I know.
Go
ahead. You've got plenty to talk about, and I won't interrupt.
No, absolutely. Because what opened it up yesterday was our conversation about your book, and I kind of want to end in a few minutes, I want to end with you talking about that a little bit. But the idea of, and I think we're both, you know, from that place, because I go there too, you know, it's my fault. Whenever anything happens, I go to that place of, well, it must be my fault, because I was always told it was. And, you know, and again, sad and bad were kind of the dual nature of my childhood. But again, back to my point at the beginning of this segment is, I don't think my experience has been, unless and until, and this is where we bring the God component into it, unless and until, and my experience has been as a Christian, Jesus speaks to the broken places in my heart and they are healed, my mind can't. I can read all the John Maxwell books in the world, but I can't put those things into practice, because the heart, the broken heart, overrides my brain. And I know this for a fact. You know this too.
Yeah.
I talk to these motivational speakers, you know, that do these seminars, and I've interviewed, you know, we talked to Wayne Dyer recently, but others, Mark Victor Hansen. And one of them told me one time off the record, and I won't say who said it, but he goes, you know, sad thing about all these people that come to all of these events is they come back every year, buy pretty much the same set of tapes, the same set of books,
really?
Thinking things change, and they don't change. He says, we, to some degree, kind of bank on the fact that most of these people will get excited at a weekend, want to change, buy all this stuff, and then not do anything. Or I think they say 1-2% of the people that actually attend these motivational weekends actually do something. And I really believe it's because there are broken places in the heart that you just cannot saturate your brain enough to override, the broken place in the heart. What's written, the Bible talks about, you know, the issues of life are written on our hearts. And if you know, I'm a failure, it's my fault, I'm unlovable, is written on your heart, and it's so deep in you that it's written on your heart, until you hear God, in my belief, in the person of Jesus, say to you, you are lovable, I died for you, I love you with an everlasting love, you're the apple of my eye, all those things that are true, and then you become healed, all that other stuff is difficult to put into practice, and And I'm holding in my book a book by John Maxwell, who, by the way, is a pastor, but he's also known as a leadership guru, motivational speaker. And the book Today Matters talks about, you know, mindset. It talks about what we've been talking about, that every day you can choose your attitude, you can choose your priorities, you can choose to be healthy. You have these choices, and the choices, I'm going to kind of piggyback that statement with the fact that, again, if you're looking through the lens of sadness or badness, and you're
expecting
things or sad things, you're going to probably, I'm just going to say probably, do again whatever the bad thing was, the sad thing was. And so for me, it might be going to McDonald's when I know I shouldn't. I should be eating healthy. I should be eating fruit and vegetables and drinking water. Instead, I go for the, you know, quarter with cheese combo, you know,
right.
Extra yeah. large Coke. And I know I shouldn't, but that broken place in me, that sad place in me, is driving my behavior. And so I think beyond some of these great books, and this is a great book, and I'm a member of the team. I mean, I'm studying under him currently, and I'm a big believer in all that he brings to the table. But I'm also, and I know he would say this, there's also kind of a circle of healing that needs to occur. And it's going to your point, it's going to be ongoing. It's going to be, we're never going to get there wherever there is, you know, we're never going to arrive.
It's impossible because we're human. We're human. We are not God. We're human, and we're human for a reason, and we have lessons to learn, and we're in this world for a purpose. We're supposed to fellowship. We're not supposed to isolate. We all tend to want to isolate. When we get upset and things are bad, we want to isolate, right? And we want to take away the pain. We want the pain to go away. And we really, it's just an amazing journey, but there is joy in this world. There is peace. And you know, you and I always at the end of the show, what do I say? And I knew from the day one we started doing it, my thing at the end of the show is, I wish you peace. And I really mean it, because I think the two things that we need in this world are love and peace. Love and peace. Everybody wants that hug. Everybody wants love, and everybody wants peace, because when we have the anxiety, we have this. The worst thing I hate is how the medical profession, God forbid, and I don't mean this against the medical profession because they're very much needed and we need them, but I hate it when people say, okay, you have anxiety, you have depression, you have this, okay, pop a pill. Don't get me wrong. There's times where people do need medicine to regulate their serotonin levels, and there's medicines needed for things, so I'm not knocking them saying, take a pill. What I'm knocking is people saying, take a pill for the rest of your life. Make this way that you deal with this issue. Maybe take a pill temporarily, and then let's get to the bottom of the problem. Let's get to the root of why you think you're ugly. I thought I was ugly for many years, and I look at pictures when I was little, I'm going, oh, my God, I was adorable. You know what I mean? I wasn't ugly, but I thought I was ugly. Why do you?
Yeah.
So, and it's like all these little things that we need to get to the root of it, and then all of a sudden you go, that's really cool. You know, it's funny, because sometimes once you know what the problem is, you can deal with it, and you're going, wow, that was a problem. Okay, I can change that, or I can work on that. But the problem is we get stuck and we don't know, and that's the stuff that I just think is what you're talking about is, just like what you're talking about is, you know, like when you said John Maxwell's group said that people come and buy the same books every time, you know, the same time of the year over and over and over because they're not changing and we can bank on it. And that's because everybody thinks we're going to get this quick fix and we're going to do whatever. But no, we need to really dig in and work on it and then realize love and peace. It's really what it's about. And we can give it to each other. We can live it. We can have it. We can really have it. But like I was saying a while ago, it doesn't mean your life's going to change and it's perfect all the time, because there's so many things that are out of our control that are going to happen that can devastate us when we love people, right? So it's a mix. It's a mixed bag, you know. But I think the biggest thing is being willing. You and I mean, we're sitting here talking on a radio show, and we're talking about stuff that some people wouldn't talk about unless they're completely behind closed doors, right? Whispering to somebody, right?
Yeah.
So
yeah.
I think, you know, we're very open in what we're willing to talk about. And we do that. Why do we do it, Randy? Because we care about people. We're not doing it for just us, right? Because if it was just us, we could just talk on the phone. We don't need to do this. And so it's I'm really, my hat's off to what you're talking about. So go ahead. The rest of it's yours.
No, I want to talk for a few minutes and then tag team with you as we wrap up, because you know, you're talking about the book Time to Heal, and I know that people want to be free of the things that hold them down. You know, you hear in recovery all the time, are you sick and tired of being sick and tired? Are you sick and tired of that thing that you can't, you know, defeat, that always defeats you? Are you done? Are you done with it? And we both do this because, you know, I love it when people who are free, you know, share their path to freedom. So to your point earlier, what I'm thankful for is, you know, the tragic time in my wife and I's lives where we had our issues and she filed for divorce and all of that sadness and trauma that went with that. What came out of that was it put us on a path of healing. And so I am thankful, to your point earlier about the thankful list, I'm thankful that I have been healed of a lot of things. There are broken places in my heart that have been healed, and I experience more joy than I do sadness. I mean, so when these cycles of sadness, it kind of comes out of nowhere.
Exactly.
And I have to, you know, and I'm getting, like today, I'm getting to a point where, I, you know, again, I talk to the Lord about it, and I say, what is this, God? And it really goes back to memories. It goes back to healing the past. And I think there's value in, you know, in going to see therapists and revisiting the past for the purpose of getting healing and moving on. And it's a journey. You and I are very candid, and it's interesting. The more we get to each other, it's interesting that that we were kind of drawn together, and we didn't even realize, you know, the depth of how much we're alike in our backgrounds. We just, I think we were, so that's interesting. And that's the same with, for instance, my wife and I and other people who I end up being very close to. As I get to know them, there's a similar background.
You know, sometimes when you think about counseling, though, I really love the Christian ministry counseling. The reason I love it is because so much is based in the Bible and Scripture, and it's also based in going back and realizing that our DNA, our family ties, soul ties, all the way back in history for years and years and years ties in. So maybe we're having issues that could be related to great-great-great-grandparents, and you might think, well, how does that go in? Well, we couldn't do that, and we only have a couple minutes, but that would take another three-day show to kind of get into. But there's things that have gone on, and there's been cycles, and there's things that have to be broken, and it's serious stuff. I mean, it's not.
Yep.
And so when you start to realize it and you learn about it, you're going, whoa, that really wasn't my fault. Whoa, I didn't do that. Oh, wait a minute. Oh, okay. And then you start to have more empathy, and you can handle it and deal with it. But I do think, to me, the best counselors are the people that have been there and done it. You know what I mean? Like, when you're a survivor and you've been through issues and abuse and different things, who more can relate to that other person that's been through it than you, you know? If somebody's been into drugs for years, how could, you know, who more could relate to somebody trying to get off of drugs and someone else who was into it that's now a counselor? You know what I mean? So I think that there's so much in life and sharing that when someone's been there, done that, been experienced it, they can relate better to people. They can feel better, and it's a journey, though. We're all wonderful. We're all miracles, but it's not, and the majority of it can really be phenomenal. I'd say 90% of our lives can be really cool if you really look at all the good stuff. You know, that bad stuff doesn't happen every single day. It's here and there, you know. But we tend to have those records in our tapes if we were used to having, you know, being told we were stupid or we were ugly or we were dumb or it was our fault, everything was our fault, and having anxiety. Then we tend to play those over and over again. So it's pretty, I mean, I think it's really it's important. It's important to look at it in awareness. And I think there's also a lot of people out there that don't realize that so many people have these issues. They just think, oh, this was just in my family, or this just happened here, or this just happened there, you know. And I think that it's kind of neat to get out there and be able to share, not just anonymously, you know what I mean? How that happens constantly too. So,
And to the point, you know, you and I were talking yesterday, and because of your journey and as we wrap up today, we have a couple minutes, is the idea of a book, you know, and I think you've actually talked about it on the show here before, but, you know, a time to heal.
It is time to heal. It is time to heal. It is time to heal. And it is time to heal. And what that's about is, you know, we go through life and we think we are so strong and we can make it and we can do it. And lots of times when we've had to be leaders and we've been thrown into being strong at an early age, we think we can handle it, we can take it, we can do it, we can whatever. Sometimes we grow and we think we can handle everything. We can handle people beating up on us. We can handle people being mean, people doing things that are, you know, you end up having to learn boundaries and issues. But what happens is you can go through times in your life and you think, okay, I worked on that issue, yeah, I'm going to heal this, and everything's fine. But you don't really ever dig into the heart matters like you're talking about, right? And you don't ever really keep it as a, you know, as a understanding where everything's lying from. And then anytime there's a major catastrophe in your life, all of a sudden, and again, when I was saying before, 90% of the time life can be great, but maybe 10% it's not. But that 10% where you can have a major catastrophe can throw you into such a tailspin.
Yeah.
I mean, and take you right down. I mean, like my brother dying took me totally down in the way he died, in the way it's gone on afterwards. It's just totally, I've never been taken down that much in my entire life ever. But so there's my percentage of that 10%. You know, I've had other issues in my life and things like that, but it brought up everything, Randy. Everything. And I was already, so that's where, to me, it is time to heal, because there's so many adults walking around wounded that they're called wonderful people, and we're all miracles, you know? That it's just like if you find, and you go, it's time to heal. You know why? Because you want to be able to handle those catastrophes, those tragedies that, again, might be 10% that as important. My brother's, I would die for my brother, so he's extremely important to me. But I'm not lessening the tragedy to say that 10% tragedy, 90% wonderful. I'm not saying 10% makes it lesser. I'm just saying when you look at your life and you really get specific, you know, they talk about don't sweat the small stuff. How many things are major tragedies? When you go through your whole life, you know, we're always complaining about this, complaining about that, worried about this, I'll sweat with that, blah, 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 blah. When you go through your life, it's not like you have a ton of major tragedies, right? You don't.
Yeah.
If you get specific. But if we don't heal these issues that really were not our issues. We took them on as our issues. We made them our issues. We took the brunt of it. We became the parents. We became the leaders. We became whatever we became. And we don't deal with those issues. And every time we have a catastrophe that's in that 1 of 10%, it could take us down. And there's no reason to do that. You know what I mean? So that's where I just think that's what I want to do. It's time to heal. I am writing it, and I'm going to bring other people into it because I don't want it just to be my story. I want to bring other people's stories into this, you know. And you know, so with real estate, that's what I do, and we're just tying it in together. So
yeah, and it's interesting you mentioned that with 1 minute to go here that you you know, part of this journey for you has been, you know, because of your real estate journey where you get involved pretty intensely in people's lives. And so you see a lot of kind of stuff that's going on in other people's lives and the heartbreak and the dreams, and that's it. That's what's brought you on this path, you know, and for me, it's been radio. For you, it's real estate. But it seems like these paths have converged to this kind of this season of helping people heal and the focus on healing. It's exciting. It's very, very exciting.
Well, you know, you, Randy, you and I were like on this path before my brother died, right? And I was constantly kind of going, okay, it's always self-help, but how do I mix it in, yada, 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 and then I realized that real estate's kind of like a ministry for me, but I'm good at it, so you don't want to throw away something you're good at and people need and you can help people, and it was like, so I was going, how do you do it without offending anybody, how do you tie it in, yada, 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 right? I mean, you and I have talked about this, and we've been working on this for a while, right? When my brother died and the pain and what I've gone through and how bad, I mean, it's been, and I didn't even really want to live. I mean, so when they talk about like the gentleman Scott jumping off the bridge, I would not do that. I wasn't even close to doing that. But I had empathy and I understood how someone could get to that point where they go, I'm done. I don't want to do this anymore. And God bless his family. I'm not bringing his name into this show, is it? You know what I mean? God bless all of them. This is just not, that is a horrible, horrible pain for people to go through and horrible for everybody involved. So I'm only bringing that up as an example of, I can have empathy and understand how somebody can get to the point where they just say there's nothing joyful in this world. There's no light to see, you know, I can see that.
Yeah.
But so for me, with my brother just going and all of me always going towards spiritual and the real estate and seeing how we can tie it in. And you and I started talking about it, God, back in 2002 or three, somewhere, I have to go back and figure out when that was.
Yeah.
But, you know, and I've always, and now, but with him dying, it's like, I don't care if someone thinks it's weird. I don't care what it looks like. I'm doing it. That's it. I'm doing it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I don't. Yeah. I'm doing it. And that has catapulted me into something that I was destined to do for years, but I just didn't want to offend anybody in the way I did it, you know, and now I'm doing it. So it's just weird how, you know, the journey takes us, and I don't think it's not totally weird. I think some things are destined, and I think we're ready to cut off here, aren't we? Our show's
I think they
over.
Cut us off about a minute ago.
Oh, my God, Randy, are you kidding me?
Yeah, we're done.
I'm so sorry. I didn't know that. I should have said, I wish you peace.
Do you see it counting down when you're on the studio thing up top?
You know what I did? I walked away when I was talking, and I'm so sorry.
Okay.
So what I need to do at the end is I need to sit in front of the computer so I don't miss it.
Well, just know with a couple minutes to go that you do, so that, because at the 30-second mark, you need to say, I wish you peace, before the 30-second mark.
Oh, shucks.
So I can play the 30-second outro.
Randy, is there any way, not for you to do it today, I know you're busy, but sometime in the next couple weeks, could you just clip and stick in, I wish you peace, at the end of this today?
Yeah.
You could do that. That would be great, because I really, I like to keep consistency, you know, in there. Okay.
Yep.
So I'm sorry I rambled on. I'm still going through my nightmare, so that's just the real, real reality.
No, I think we're heading toward, you know, maybe doing a show about this in and of itself, you know.
Like grief?
You know.
Spirits and all these issues. I think we should, too. Yeah. You know what? You know what's so funny, Randy? This sounds terrible, so thank God we're off the air, right? We're definitely off the air.
Yeah.
This sounds terrible, but you know what? Hawaii would be the